Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Speaking of Kings, the Bears are the Kings of the fucking NFC North, whether or not you like it or not.
Yes, sir.
The Bears are number one.
Deal with it. Deal with it.
And we're going to enjoy it. We beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. We didn't get a chance to put belt ass to Aaron Rodgers, possibly one last time, but
he pulled out on us.
Yeah, yeah. His hand hurt. He ain't want no smoke.
Nah, he ain't want no smoke at all.
He ain't want no smoke. He ain't want that smoke. But the Bears are coming off a victory versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. People said the Bears couldn't beat a good team. They'll try to say Aaron Rodgers didn't play. So that was the Steelers are still a damn good team. You saw that yesterday. You saw what a well-coached team looks like.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
They're disciplined. They made plays. They still got players. That's still a damn good team, man, regardless of Aaron Rodgers didn't play or not. But we got a little payback on that game, too, you know.
Yes, sir. That's why we got James yoking in the background. The big payback. Revenge. We should be 2-0 against them hoes. Everybody know that.
I think the Bears got a pretty good record versus Tomlin. It's pretty crazy. I think it's like 8-1 or something.
Yeah, dang. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, get him nine. You know, get him nine. Bro, we really should be 2-0 against them purple pussy eaters. I swear, bro, I hate them bastards. I don't hate them as much as I hate Lions or as much as I hate Green Bay. But, man. Bro, I mean, the way they would the talk about J.J. McCarthy was just filthy.
God.
Like he was just sweet. Because they thought he came from Michigan. He was the second coming of Tom Brady or something. It's a reason why Jim Harbaugh didn't let him throw the damn ball. It's a reason. Okay, it's a reason why all Michigan did was run the damn football.
Yes.
With sparingly passes. Very seldom would they let him get back there and attempt to pass. All right? He was one play from blowing. That year they won the national title game, he was one play away from blowing it. Luckily, they threw a flag on it with the pick six against Alabama in the damn Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
right.
would have opened the floodgates in that game. So, again, just turn around. Jim Harbaugh was like, oh, no. Hell no. Turn around, hand that shit off.
I got this defense in that run game.
Yeah, I'm going to lean on that. Just turn around, hand the damn ball off. Man. We don't need you doing no extra. I mean, literally, bro, every time he dropped back, you can hear fans, JJ, no! Straight up.
That's what they were doing in that Vikings game.
JJ, no!
JJ, no!
Literally, bro, it's bad. You know what I'm saying? It's bad.
I never saw it with him, bro. I didn't get what people...
That mantra, I go into nine mode and I get activated. And then they try to show him in the locker room. Like, you're like, yeah.
Look at that goofy ass face.
Yeah. Like, man, sit your wet. Bro, if I'm one of the wide receivers, I'd be like, man, I'll slap the shit out you right now, bro.
Justin Jefferson is a good dude, bro. Because you know he pissed.
Man. Oh, my God.
He's
got to
be. He's a good dude.
He's trying to be patient. He's trying to be patient. But in another year or two, he going to request for a trade, bro. Like, man, get me the hell out of here. Seriously.
If they stick with him, I mean, I don't know if they stick with him. If he keeps going at this rate, he won't be there long.
Bro, they got to look for a quarterback.
But now you in that position. Remember, like, this is what happened when you miss on the QB, right? The Bears did this with Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Miss on the quarterback, and you start bringing in Andy Dalton and Nick Foles and shit, trying to – they talking about bringing back Kirk Cousins. Like,
right.
Come on, man.
Right. Hey, I wouldn't be shocked, man. Don't put Justin Fields with Kevin O'Connell. I'm just saying. He go in there and take nine spot.
Nine.
Fucking nine. Like, yeah, who gives himself a nickname, bro? Nine.
I got an alter ego.
Like, that's some ridiculous shit ever. But
you have an alter ego.
It's something that I wanted to tap in, right? from what I've been seeing us going on this nice little, you know, tirade of us winning and everything else. You know, you got these stat boys or stat nerds or geeks or whatever you want to call them out here. They want to talk about fucking completion percentage, right? 50, 50, 50, 58, 56, 52. Okay, you know who came, who had the same completion percentage as Caleb Williams coming out? Matthew Stafford. Not only Matthew Stafford, but so did Josh Allen. Yeah. They fared pretty fucking well to me. You know, they pretty fine to me. So if that's the company that he's going to be a part of, because I'm telling you, like I said, I put out the tweet. Look, this is the only year y'all going to catch Caleb lacking. And you can't get your licks in now? Dude, you ain't going to get your licks in later.
Yeah. I'm going to give a caveat to that, too, because I see a lot of people with those stats. They tried to do this with 9. They were pulling up John Elway's first 3 years and Peyton Manning's first 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of young quarterbacks, but we did the same thing with Mitch, right? We'd be like, oh, well, look at this first. No. The difference is you can see it. This is when the eye test comes into play, right? What is a player's superpower? What is J.J. McCarthy? He doesn't have a superpower.
At all.
He doesn't – like Justin – I mean, not Justin Fields, but Caleb Williams has a superpower. His escapability. He can't be sacked. The way that he can extend play. His arm, bro, I think – I was listening to Olin Cruz, and he was talking to a guy, the quarterback. He said he probably has one of a top three strongest arm in the NFL. The only people that probably have the strongest arm is Pat Mahomes and Caleb Williams. Like, his arm is that strong. So, you can't
– Josh Allen.
And Josh Allen, those are the top three. I mean, just pure arm talent and strength. Those are the top three. He has wheels. He has top three. And he's also shown us that he's clutch. He has 5 game-winning drives. When the game is tight, this man scores. So that's the difference when you compare Josh Allen's stats to a Caleb Williams, is that they were doing what Caleb Williams did. They were showing you, hey, I just need to clean up my accuracy, my completion percentage, which has to, more, it has to do with drops, timing of the offense, than just him missing players. He misses some passes, don't get me wrong. But those are things that can be cleaned up. But you see everything else. And when these NFL fans and these stat boys, they try to say, well, J.J. McCarthy, stats are the same. No, he's not. They don't play the same. You cut on the fucking game and watch it, just like the rest of us. You know, a guy making a 15-yard pass is not all the same. A guy spinning out, breaking out of a sack, throwing across his body, jumping in the air, that's a different 15-yard pass than J.J. McCarthy hitting fucking Justin Jefferson for 7 yards and he picks up another 6. That's not the same. Mm-hmm. These are different type of plays, and you can see that. And like I said, he has a superpower. And 9 doesn't have a superpower other than being a fucking weirdo. So,
right. You know, when it comes to what you were talking about, Will, like it's hard for me to compare eras because to me, the NFL is so drastically different, right? So when people pull up these LA stats or they pull up even Peyton Manning from 1998, it's just a different game now, bro.
Exactly.
It's 25, 30, 40, 50 years later sometimes. So you cannot compare Joe Montana to him. You can't compare, you know, Drew Brees even, or, you know what I mean? Even Tom Brady and his, you know, you can compare certain things like the game calling or you know what I mean, managing the game, you know, checking down, stuff like that. You can compare some of those things, but just all out numbers, I can't compare the two, right? I can't do that. But what I will say is this, like Caleb makes great plays. He makes really, really great plays from time to time, right? But there are some problems in there as well. And he has to get those fixed. But at the same time, like Ben Johnson said with the run game, be patient. With the offensive line, be a little bit patient. We get this. We're gonna get this rolling. We got it. I trust Ben Johnson on that because you see what has happened, right? Same thing with Caleb. This is a young quarterback. And, yeah, his completion percentage is low. Ben Johnson set the bar at 70% because that's what he wants. That's what he expects. And I like that about him. Mm-hmm. He's fallen well short of that with his completion percentage. So that's an issue, but it will get cleaned up, I believe. And I believe Caleb is also like a volume thrower. The more he throws, the more accurate he gets, the more comfortable he gets, right? So that's another thing. And then, of course, you got the run game that's really going to help him, right? And we see it helping because Ben Johnson, you see guys winning. I mean, we didn't see this with the Bears offense before, right? Where guys are literally running wide open. You know? Now Caleb got to make those layups.
Yeah,
hit those layups.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he missed a few. He missed a few.
Yeah, he missed a few. Luther Burden coming across the middle twice. You know what I mean? He threw one high. He threw one way behind.
DJ too.
You know what I mean? Miss DJ. Yeah. So it's like, and then at the same time, something else I've been talking about: the wide receivers have to catch those balls too. Now they got some drops. What I will say about this, more concerning to me than anything with Caleb, is his lack thereof, or not the ability, but the lack thereof willingness to put a little touch on the ball sometimes. I mean, he threw a screen pass to DJ Moore and it hit him, and you know what I mean? And DJ didn't catch the ball, but the dude's five yards away from you. Why are you gunning? You know what I'm saying? Like, what you firing that motherfucker? He's 5 yards away from you. You got to give him a catchable ball. You know what I'm saying? I know I seen one where DeAndre Swift, it hit his hands. And he came, you know, he went jogging to the sideline because it was his turn to come out. But he's shaking his hand like, why you throw it so hard? You know what I mean? Like,
and especially running backs, you can't throw them the ball as hard as the wide receivers. No. They running backs, dog. But I think that's why a lot of people drop it. People say they drop his picks. I'm like, yeah, because they can't catch it. You see the motherfucker thing coming at him 100
wide receivers drop, you know what I mean? I think the Bears have like a 5.2% drop rate right now as a team. If your wide receivers are dropping balls, you know the defensive backs are going to drop because they can't catch worth a dime. Yeah. You know, so you know it is what it is. Those things will come. I think the ability to put touch, the ability to you know, and I think, you know, for a young quarterback coming into the NFL, you see that opening and it's like these windows close quick. So he's like, let me get the ball there. You know what I mean? So he has to. At some point, the game hasn't slowed down yet for him. But once it does, and he's able to decipher this, that, and the third, and you know, hey, I know what I can do here. I know what I can do there. Then those plays will be completed. That percentage should go up. I see it going up to 65, 66% next year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If he makes the proper adjustments. So, you know, it's just a be a patient type of attitude, man. Like we got a quarterback. You can see it. We can see the talent. We can see improvement upon what he did last year. Less sacks. It's so many things that you could look at and say, hey, that's good. We could nitpick this, you know what I mean? But we just have to be patient as a fan base and say, hey, let the kid learn. Let him get his feet. You know, now if he's, you know, in year 4 or 5 completing 50% of his passes, I'm going to be like, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, you got to improve on it, you know? But right now, I'm not gonna hold him to it. Plus, it's a new system and a new coach, new everything. So, you know, I'm pleased with what he's doing out there, for real.
Yes, sir, man. I think I was listening to Kurt Warner. He explained it like this. He said, having a touch on the ball, if you see some of these passes, it's like might be slightly behind the player.
Mm-hmm.
And they can catch it, but he throws it so hard that – they can't really catch it, where if you put a little touch on it, that same player will make that play. And that just causes your completion percentage to go up. And I think his arm is so strong that I don't even know he's just throwing it, but his arm is so damn strong, he's throwing it hard even when he's just regular throwing it. So he has to learn how to, okay, I just need to shoot it, like, you know, shooting a layup with it or a teardrop or something. And that's just something that's going to come with time. And, hey,
take a little bit
I don't know if you guys had it. I had the Bears this year going into the season. I said they might win eight games. We're 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing with house money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is, you know what I mean? When I went into the season, I said, what, 9-8, maybe 10-7 if they can, you know, get on a little roll. You know, I think they're ahead of schedule. That's what I will say, right? I didn't think they would hit stride the way that they have so quickly. Mm-hmm. But they have, you know what I mean? And it's not by accident. Like I tell people say, oh, they're fortunate to win this game against the Raiders. They're fortunate to win this game. That was lucky. Nah, bro, they're making plays.
Mm-hmm.
The players are making plays like that. This is not a situation where a team gave you the game or they went out there and screwed something up. You're making plays. A block kick, that's a play. That's an outstanding play. That's a hustle play. You know what I mean? Batted balls at the end of the game. That ain't by accident. Them guys are doing that. Tremaine Edmonds did it. Jaquan Brisker did it last week on Sunday. You know what I mean? So
that was a pick six if he didn't.
Exactly.
That was Deshaun Wright was on that.
Yeah, he was. And Deshaun Wright making plays out there as well. You know what I mean? Now, he got burnt a couple times, but he's making plays. And you expect that because he came off the street, man. Let's be real. So, you know, yeah, I mean, they're ahead of schedule. It's nice to see it. And if they catch fire, man, if they keep rolling, they're going to be in good shape for this playoff run.
Yeah, man. This last game, what name is it? Is he still there?
Yeah, I think he might have went to the restroom or something.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that Pittsburgh game, man, I like Nashawn Wright might have submitted himself as a CB2. I know he gets burned, but I mean cornerbacks get burned. But this dude, man, the plays he's making on the ball as a cornerback, he high-pointed that ball. Who was it? It was Addison, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Versus Vikings,
yeah.
And then he did it versus DK Metcalf.
Yep.
Like, this ain't – at this point, he's leading the league in interceptions. He's tied, right, with Byer. This is not a –
This ain't by accident.
This ain't by accident. This ain't the dude that who got lucky. The ball bounced up in the air and he caught it, and whatever. Right. No, this dude is high pointing football against all pro wide receivers and taking it. One-handed catches. I mean, I think we gotta give the Bears staff. I know Al Harris,
yeah.
DC, Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, credit for bringing this guy in. And yeah, I mean, the defense has been hit with all these injuries. And you just got players stepping up. DeMarco, what's his name? Can't remember his name.
Yeah, DeMarco.
Is it Jackson Johnson, see?
Jackson,
yeah.
Jackson.
See, that's what I'm saying. He's coming off the practice squad. This guy in here, 15 tackles.
Yep.
So when we were telling people, man, coaching matters in the NFL, this is exactly what we were talking about.
Yes,
coaching matters, and you got to give – you know what I mean? I'm tired of – this is the other thing that I'm tired of. I'm tired of people – because they seem to not want to give Ryan Poles any credit for anything.
Exactly.
Now he got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He came in. He made an immediate impact, and he's playing well on the team. I mean, these are guys that you get to come in here, and they're actually playing well. You got to give a man credit. You can't give him all the blame for the stuff that he does wrong.
Right.
And then when something goes right, it's like, oh, well, it's because he's listening to his scouting department now. Like, come on, man. Like, give him a little bit of credit. You know what I'm saying?
That's weird.
So, I mean, we got to call it both ways, man. And that's what, I the Three Kings have done that all the time. We've always called it right down the line. And, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. You know, it is what it is. We're going to call you out if it's bad. We're gonna praise you when it's good. But you're not going to get undeserved blame or undeserved praise at the same time either.
Facts. Facts.
Yes,
facts.
Sir. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want to bag on Poles, but just like y'all stated, you got to give Ryan Poles his credit. Because, again, as you can see, I mean, of course, it would make us look like the land of misfit toys, right? Because we get the players. He drafts the players he feels that are a good fit, good for what we're trying to do. And then we put them with shit coaching, and then all of a sudden they look inadequate. They look inadequate, and then it's like, man, what the fuck? But see, this has been the running theme for the Bears for so many years, is that why players would be shit with us, but then go and be all pros, pro bowlers, and everything else when they go to other teams, because they have better coaching, far better coaching than what we had up and down the board.
Preach.
Now we finally have good coaches, actually adequate coaches, above average coaches that can develop talent, can hone talent, and bring along talent, and not only have them play at their peak, but actually above and beyond what they've been playing. That's what coaching does.
That's the thing. That's what coaching does. And the people don't understand that. Like, coaching is not just teaching them the game, right? A lot of these guys know some of the game and the nuances of the game.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is getting the most out of that particular player.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have position coaches that are hands-on, right? You got the defensive coordinator that they report to. You got the head coach that's overseeing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know what I mean? That's the way it's broke down. And the Bears have a coaching staff across the board that is second to none to me in the NFL.
Yes.
You got guys that played. You got guys that can relate to the players in today's game. You got a head coach that's no nonsense. You got Dennis Allen who's well, you know what I mean? He knows what he's doing out there. You have a really good coaching staff, and you can see it. And the players are bought in. The players are following behind these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're following game plan. They're locked in. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's good to see, man.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to get Dennis Allen his props. I know the Bears defense doesn't look good statistically other than turnovers. But look at all the injuries the Bears have had. Jalen Johnson has essentially missed the whole year. Kyle Gordon, the whole year. TJ Edwards. These are their three best defenders.
Yeah.
They missed almost the entire year. You've had
six starters out last week, bro. Yeah. Six starters.
Yeah, the top three linebackers out. Edwards, Edmonds, and Noah Sewell. Yeah. And we're going to go back to Noah Sewell because he didn't touch the field while he was under Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
He's been starting for us since we came in the league. Been solid. Hasn't been great. He has his flaws. He can't cover. Mm-hmm. But he can fill that hole and pop. Montez Sweat is having a resurgent year. He has like 6.5, 7 sacks. Mm-hmm. He had 5.5 last year.
Yep.
You know, Javon Dexter's having his best year, you know, with all these injuries. So you got to give these guys props, man, that, hey, coaching matters. And we've been trying to tell people this. Yeah, Poles, he's had his misses. Claypool was a miss. It was a miss. Yeah. But who cares? You drafted Luther Burden, Roma Dunze, right? You know, who else was a miss? Karen Amagaji was a miss. But guess what? Mm-hmm. We signed Theo Benedict off the scrap heap. Ozzie Trapillo looks good. Mm-hmm. Darnell Wright, the entire interior of the offensive line looks good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we missed on Nate Davis, but we hit on Thoney. We hit on Jonah Jackson. Yep. Luke Newman looked good in the spot. You know what I mean? So, like, a GM is going to have their misses. You can call out the misses. I'm like, fine. Davis Jones was a miss. You can say that. Yeah. That's fine. But have the other hits. Since then, has he had? It looks like he's going on the job. Too. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you finish and then I'll say it. But what I was going to say is even the misses, you can call out these misses. Because I was in the space the other day and I'm like, you know, somebody's, you know, banging on Ryan Poles and they're like, he missed on this. He's missing. And, you know, yeah, they turned around, but it's solely because of the coach, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, that has a lot to do with it, but
he hired the coach,
players though. Not only that, but the players that he drafted that are now playing well are playing well because the coach is there, but obviously they had talent, right? So you can't give one guy credit and no credit to the other guy. And then here's the other thing. When you talk about his misses, because I said, okay, what misses are you talking about? Well, Chase Claypool and, you know, Nate Davis. I'm like, were either of those detrimental to the franchise where it set us back? Didn't set the franchise back.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? There's GMs that go out there and they make decisions that set the franchise back. Dio Odigbo, everybody, $48 million. The dude's getting paid $13 million a year.
He could be cut next year.
Do you know what the top defensive ends are making? They're making $47 million a year. 48, 47, 46.
Yeah, Sweat is only getting paid 25.
Look at, like, that. Now, all of a sudden, it puts it in perspective. That $48 million don't seem that much.
Right.
See, he's getting $48 million. But that's for what, a 3 or 4 year deal? There's guys getting $48 million that play for one season and they're getting that money. So it's all of these guys get paid money. They're gonna get paid money if you could rush the passer and somewhat young, you're gonna get some money. So it is what it is. That's not detrimental. It doesn't set the franchise back. Like you said, he can be cut next year and we'll walk away with nothing. No problems. So, you know, his ability to turn this franchise around, because we was in salary cap hell.
Yes.
You think about what Pace did, right? And Pace, you know, I always bring it up. 5 years, $185 million to, you know, y'all complaining about Dio. You gave $85 million to Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
At the latter part of his career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, we gotta take it and we gotta really look at it in full scope. They throw out that $48 million, yeah, that's the entire contract. But dude, getting paid $13 million a year, that ain't that.
Yeah, it's not all guaranteed either way. It ain't all guaranteed. And you always overpaying
for $48 million. He might.
Yeah, you always overpaying free agency when you need stop gaps. You know, that's the thing. We go to free agency, you overpay. You get decent players to good players. You don't get great players in free agency.
No.
And you always going to overpay. That's why you don't want to spend a lot of money for you. You want
to
draft.
If you get a great player, he used to be great. He ain't great no more. He's old. He's washed up. He used to be great.
Like when we got like Jared Allen.
Jared Allen. Well, 40-year-old. What was my man from the Philadelphia Eagles, the left tackle? 40-year-old. Jason Peters. Used to be good. 40 years old now.
He did. He did lay out that Niners linebacker, though. My God.
Yeah.
Bro.
He had a little bit of juice left.
Ooh, Lord.
That joke was huge, though, man.
Knocked him out the game with that one. Like, woo. Jesus. But, yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, so we took care of business. You know what I'm saying? We did what we were supposed to do against the Vikings. Then turned right back around and handled business against the Steelers. Again, you know, and now we got the true test coming up, man. True test. Because that Vic Fangio defense, you know, Vic calls a good game. He's a great defensive, you know, we know from our own account. Vic is a great defensive coordinator, a great defensive play caller. But at the same time, we got a great offensive play caller on our end as well. And I love the fact that Vic Fangio paid homage to Ben Johnson and was like, man, you know, the way he schemes up his run game, everything, it looks the same, you know, and how he schemes up his passing and mix up his running and everything else is really, really, really good, man. It's really good. You know, it's up there with some of the greats. So, you know, I'm on the other side of things. Of course, we had the great alliance between Philly and Chicago, you know, Eagles and Bears fans uniting, taking out each other's trash. However, going into this game, man, I'm not scared of Philly at all because Philly can be had. They just got beat by Dallas. Now, granted, we dog walked Dallas. We manhandled Dallas, but this ain't the same damn Dallas Cowboys that we played. You know,
right.
that defensive front is serious. And Flew's got that defense humming.
They morph after.
Hey, we ain't even the same team.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? We ain't right even now. The same damn team. But that defensive front in Dallas is something serious, man. It definitely is. But, you know, they took care of business against the Eagles. And right now, you know, with the Eagles offense struggling, man, they can be had. You know, they can definitely be had. And the fact that we get JJ, we get KG, you know what I'm saying? We get Edwards. We get all these guys back, man.
I don't think Edwards is back. I think he still might be out.
Yeah, that's all good, even if he's not back. The fact of the matter that, you know, now we got, you know, JJ, we got Kyler, we got CJ, you know, and then, of course, you know, we got Byard, you know, we got Brisker.
Brisker, still got Wright.
We still got Wright, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, okay, we working with something right now. Now, as far as the backers and everything, you know, trying to handle Saquon, we'll hold our breath with that. But you ain't going to beat us passing. You ain't going to beat us passing, especially with these guys coming back. So, you know, you're going to have to mix it up because, again, you know, it ain't like we got scrubs up there on the front, you know, on the defensive front either. So I welcome the challenge, man. I definitely welcome the challenge. You know, it just depends on what we do, you know, against them. But it's in Philly, you know what I'm saying? One thing that I do want to touch on with it being in Philly, our quarterback can't do dumbass. He can't make dumbass mental mistakes, man. That shit against T.J. Watt was, like, inexcusable. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Then the fact that he had him in the grasp and just ragdolled him, and he tried to, you know, play jackpot with the football. Like, what the hell was that, man? Like, it just rolled out his hands.
He had time to get rid of the ball, too.
Yeah, he was getting slammed down to the ground. I'm like,
okay. He tried to be Superman, but that's T.J. Watt.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy part about it,
there's certain people you don't test. You
yeah,
don't test
and what's crazy about it is what pissed me off about it was, you know, Darnell Wright had him blocked. He had him blocked. Caleb, go back, okay? He goes back. He drops back, okay? T.J. goes outside. Darnell stonewalls him. Caleb goes inside. Darnell stonewalls him. Then Caleb goes back outside. Well, now T.J.'s outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, goddamn, man. What, you know what I'm saying? If I'm Darnell Wright, like, what the fuck you doing, bro? I had him blocked. I had this motherfucker blocked. Like, you're not, you know what I'm saying? And to the naked eye, people would think that sack goes on Darnell Wright. No, that sack goes on Caleb Williams.
No, that's 100% on Caleb. And when you're in the end zone like that, you got to get rid of the ball, bro.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
If I'm hitting my back foot, if my players ain't open, I'm either running out of the end zone or I'm throwing that bitch on to the fifth row.
Yeah.
Like, Dane, there's no excuse that you ain't trying. He's trying to be Superman, and that's the thing about being young. I'm pretty sure they tore his ass up in that film session. I'm pretty sure Ben Johnson had that clicker back and forth. Mm-hmm. Click, click, watch his ass get.
Right.
Watching his ass get ragdolled. Well, look, how do we end up in this situation, Caleb?
Yeah, getting ragdolled, literally.
Get your ass ragdolled. You know, he broke his brother's sack record with that.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're good, when you break J.J. Watt's sack record.
Yeah.
You still got several years ago. God, good God. Yeah, you don't play with TJ Watt, bro. Don't play with that guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
He ain't Kayvon
Thibodeau. That's the thing. It's about, you know what I mean? You can be Superman. You could extend plays and things like that, but you have to, it's awareness, man. Situational football, situational awareness. You got to know where you are on the football field, number one. You got to know what down it is and all of that type of stuff. Live to fight another down. You know what I'm saying? Get rid of the ball. There ain't nothing wrong with throwing the ball. Now he throws the ball away sometimes, but in that situation, for whatever reason, you feel like, hey, this is the time to make a play. And the moment when you're on the field at that point, it's either take a safety or you're going to fumble, get a strip sack, and give away 7 points. And the worst outcome happened. And it's like, you just got to understand where you are on the football field, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't need those mistakes. Those are the mistakes that irk me. I can deal with a bad throw. I can deal with, you know, a misread. I can deal with all those things because those things can get better. But these are boneheaded mistakes. You know what I mean? You can't make those. So he has to clean that up quick.
Yeah, but granted, I'll give him props. He didn't get sacked again. So I'll give him that. Yeah, that was his one. It was horrific.
Horrific.
It was the worst possible outcome you could have. That was the only one. But God damn. I was like, man, at least give up a safety. I was like, he got strip sacked. They recovered the football. I was like, God damn.
when he first dropped back, he had a minute to you know, he had some time. And then when he moved towards to the right a little bit, he moved towards the right, and I'm like, I immediately was like, throw the ball away. You know what I mean? Like,
dirty. Just throw it at lineman's feet, dude. That's
throw it. Away. Throw it away. You ain't got time back there when you're in the end zone. They coming for you.
And Pittsburgh got a hell of a defensive line, man. You can't be dancing back there in the end zone, man. That's dangerous. But hey, we won.
We came away with the dub.
And back to these Eagles, man. The Eagles are a good team, man. The Eagles got a good defensive line. We already know they got Vic Fangio. I know Saquon Barkley's been struggling. He got like a hamstring or something. But, hey, he's playing the Bears. And guess what we don't got? We don't got linebackers. Yeah. And we get gassed in the run game. So this could be a game where Saquon gets his groove back. So it's going to be imperative on Chicago to do their best to try to take away the run and make them one-dimensional. If we got our DBs back, we probably need to commit that box. And I don't think Smith is playing.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He's dealing with a lot of injuries.
Yeah, so I'll take my chances versus A.J. Brown versus Jalen Johnson and that group back there, and we commit to the run. That's probably going to be the Bears' game plan. And I know it's going to be hard to run the ball versus the Eagles, but we're going to have to try to run the ball. You know, because we also don't want to be one-dimensional back there. So that's going to be the chess match between Ben Johnson and Vic Fangio.
That's the good question. Like you don't want to be one-dimensional, but at the same time, you want to be efficient on offense to where you put up points, because that's how you keep them from being able to run the ball. When they feel like they got to go score, or say the Bears can get a – say they score first and then they mess around and score again. It's a two-possession game, or you up 14-0 or 10-0, whatever. Then that puts pressure on that offense to make them come out of their game plan. They may want to run the ball with Saquon, but now, because we're down, now we got to play differently. We got to throw the ball a little bit more. We got to put the ball in harm's way a little bit more. And when they can't control the clock, so we can then control the clock. We can then change how we play. And that's why you say offense and defense, they go hand in hand sometimes. You know what I mean? We can make them look better as an offense if we go out there and put up points and score when we're supposed to. So, and that's a tough task because defense, you know, Philly's defense is tough, man. So that's going to be a tough task too. So they got their hands full, of course, with this team, but it is a way to win the game. You know what I mean? As always, it's always a way to win the game.
Yeah. And when you got a coaching staff like we got, man, I feel like you always have a chance. I feel like that Detroit game got a little bit out of hand, but we're a different team than that. That was week two. The running game wasn't intact. It was a lot trying to Bears trying to figure out a lot. So I think the Bears will be in any game. I do think that. I don't think this will be a blowout in any way on either side. And it's going to be one of those games. It's going to come down to those two or three plays. Like we always say, this game more than any is going to come down to those two or three plays. Who's going to make those two or three plays? Who's going to make that play on defense? Who's going to make that you know, the 88 out the gate on offense? You know, is somebody going to break a tackle and score a touchdown? Is K Caleb gonna, you know, be on fire this game and get his completion percentage up to around close to 70%? That's what it's gonna come down to. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be those two or three plays, a couple of players stepping up, and that's gonna be the game, man. Because I think with the Chicago Bears, regardless of what the fans say, the actual NFL teams, they don't look at the Bears like the same old Bears. They're not like, oh yeah, this is an easy one, we just gonna walk in and win the game. They preparing for the offense. They preparing for that run game. They know the Bears got weapons. The offense know the Bears take away the ball. Yep. They know this. They ain't just walking in here like, oh yeah, it's the same old Bears, we're gonna get this dub and get up out of here. You know. They preparing. Philly ain't taking the Chicago Bears lightly, I promise you. No. Fans can talk all what they want to talk on the internet, on Twitter. I promise you, Sirianni ain't in there like, oh yeah, we got the Bears, we're gonna do this and do that. They like, hey bro, we better be on our P's and Q's because these dudes are good.
Yeah.
You know.
And the Bears defense, like it's not like you said, you know, I think Nez, I think you said it, they're not, you know, you look at the stats and it's not jumping out across the board like, you know, as terms of like shutting people down where they don't score points, you know, right. Niggas, you know, teammates score points on them or whatever. But what I would call the Bears defense is opportunistic. They take advantage, full advantage of the opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. So when you put the ball in harm's way, the Bears are going to come away with it. They're going to recover the fumble. They're going to get the interception. Mm-hmm. If you throw it to them, they're going to catch it. You know what I'm saying? We've seen that. Byard, we've seen that with Tremaine Edmonds. We've seen it with Nashawn Wright. So it's like they got good enough ball skills, hand skills to get their hands on the ball, and they're going to take it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got to be, you know, they're opportunistic in that way. They may not be a shutdown defense, but they're very opportunistic, and they don't give up. They keep fighting. So when you have that, I mean, you'll be in the game because you can create problems, and, you know, problems and turmoil for an offense, and that's what you want to do. I keep saying it. In this day and age in football, it's few and far between teams that are just going to shut another team down. You know what I mean? You just don't have it. Players are too good. Coaches are too smart. You know what I mean? The rules are bent in favor for the offense. So you don't have that shut down team anymore. But you have to be an opportunistic defense, and I think they are.
Yeah, they are, man. They are. And we getting key pieces back on that secondary, which is huge. I mean, I would like to at least have Edwards back and Sewell, but it is what it is, man. The Bears have been winning without, you know, key pieces. But I think that's going to be huge for the team, man, because Jalen Johnson is a legit top five cornerback in the NFL. Yeah. This ain't just somebody coming back. Tyler Gordon is a legit top five nickelback in the NFL. I think somebody had a stat when Brisker, Gordon, and Johnson all play together. Like, the Bears are like a top five pass defense team in the league, but they haven't played that much together. Mm-hmm. And so when you got these guys together, it's going to be hard to pass on them. I mean, Sweat's getting home, you know, Booker's putting pressure on the quarterback, Dexter's getting pressure on the quarterback. I was watching some breakdown of that dude, the new guy, Tryon Shirinka.
He
was pretty solid, man. I mean, he didn't get no sacks, he got a couple pressures, he got to stop. The dude know how to play football. I ain't saying he'll star. He's a good rotational piece, but he can play football. You know, I think, man, this secondary coming back is going to be huge. If you get Edwards back, eventually Edmonds and Edwards back.
Right.
The Bears might make some noise, man. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. But I think the Bears, it's time to be excited, man. It's time to be excited.
Absolutely. And don't let anybody try to take it on me, because, you know, that was the narrative, right? They always want to throw these narratives out there. The Bears have been breaking narratives all entire season, right? So that whole, you know, the same old Bears narrative, you know, all of these different narratives that they had, you know what I mean? The Bears have the ability to break them. It's another one. And that one was, you know, they ain't beat a team that had a winning record. They can't beat a good team, blah, blah, blah. Now you have this situation, and we talked about this before. Is it a statement win? Is it a, you know, so on and so forth? And I called the wins that they had before character building, team building, character building. Those were what those wins were, in my opinion. These next set of games, you have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make a statement victory. You got the Eagles. You got the Packers twice. You got 49ers. You got the
Lions.
You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of teams that are playoff contending teams that you can make a statement against. These are perennial playoff contending teams as well. Super Bowl contenders in many ways, like the Detroit Lions, San Francisco, Eagles. And the Eagles, right? They're all Super Bowl contenders. Yeah, you know, wouldn't nobody be surprised if one of those teams went to the Super Bowl, you know? So when you can win a game like that, even Green Bay to a certain degree, even though I don't like saying that. I don't give them no credit. But you know, hopefully they lose tomorrow, by the way, too. But, yeah, it's an opportunity for them to make some statement victories or get at least one of these statement victories. And the most important game, I want to get y'all's opinion on this, to me, is San Francisco game. That's the most important one to me because San Francisco is sitting below us. They're in the seventh seed right now in the playoff picture. If you beat San Francisco, you gain the tiebreaker over them, number one. So you're in the playoffs at that point. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the most important game. The other games are very important as well. I want to see dubs in those games. But that San Francisco game, if you can get that win against them, that goes a long way to clinching a playoff position.
Yeah, that's important. I still say it's the Packers games. I know that's the most important, like, standing-wise, because I think we beat them mm-hmm. last year, right?
Yeah.
And they always got to go, well, Jordan Love didn't play. He did play.
Right.
He didn't play the whole game, but he did play. Right. You lost, right? You know, the Bears got to beat them. Even if it's a psychological thing. I don't think this current team cares. I don't think Ben Johnson cares. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams has some thing against them because he beat them last year. So I don't think he fears them like the fan base does. But for the fans, mm-hmm. I think for the fan base, for both fan bases, you got to beat them because it sends a message to us. Like, we can beat the Green Bay Packers. All your Packer PTSD, put it away. We don't give a shit about the Packers.
Right.
And for the Packers fans that, same old Bears. Well, the Bears say the same shit every year. You got to smack them in the mouth.
Right.
So they can shut the fuck up. It's like a bully, dude. You're going to keep getting bullied until you pop his ass in the mouth. And then they got a little blood. Then they're like, okay, now you serious. That's what, to me, it's a psychological thing for the fan base, for the media. They, you know, we're old enough to remember when we used to beat their ass. Mm-hmm. A lot of the younger fans aren't, you know.
Right.
You know, a lot of our millennial fans, I forget that they came on in the Jay Cutler era.
Right.
And we were getting our ass kicked. Jay Cutler, did he ever beat the Green Bay back? It was like Kay McNown beat him. I don't think Jay Cutler
beat him. Yeah, Jay beat him a couple
times. Jay beat him.
Yeah. You know, they didn't start beating, really, to be totally honest, they didn't start beating Jay Cutler, man, until after that NFC Championship game. Literally. In 2010. You know what I'm saying? After the NFC Championship game that we lost, and then that's when we couldn't beat the motherfuckers no more. Lovey created a monster. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. And that's kind of what I want the Bears to get over. I want them to get rid of that monkey off their back, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Whoop these motherfuckers regularly. Yeah. Regularly. Yes. I hate their colors. I hate everything about Green Bay. I really do. I hate everything about Green Bay. And I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I hate them. What a passion. I hate to see them
walk. I hate the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress.
I hate to see them do anything good. When they get their ass whooped, I enjoy it. By all accounts.
By Bears fans. Bears fans, like, who do we root for? The Vikings or the Packers? You always root against the Packers.
Always.
That's the one thing. I don't care if you're playing the Lions. I don't care who has the better record. I'm rooting for the Lions that day, goddammit. I'm a Lions fan that day when they playing the Packers. I'm a backer Vikings fan when they playing the Packers. I don't want the Packers to win. Like, it doesn't matter, bro. I'll never root for them. Ever.
Ever.
Under any circumstances.
Ever, 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 ever?
Ever, ever.
Never.
Never.
So, never. Never. So, we going to be rooting for the Lions that day, goddamn it. Who y'all got in this Eagles game, man?
Woo!
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
It's tough, man. You know, the homer in me definitely want to go with the Bears, but the brain says it's going to be the Eagles. You know, because, again, Caleb is going to do some dumb shit, and it's going to cost us. But I like what we doing, man. I like how we riding, you know. No Devontae Smith. And then, of course, on top of that, you got, you got the other disgruntled wide receiver over there, A.J. Brown. You know, he's going to get the lion's share of whatever. And that's a you know, he's a duty to stop in itself. But if we put JJ on him, bro, he iced. Definitely. You know, he may get one every now and then, but he definitely ain't finna get his rocks off. So, you know, it's about can we contain Saquon Barkley is what I'm looking at. And if we can contain him, and, you know, if we can contain him, Philly defensive secondary does not woo me.
No,
okay?
Not either.
And you know, DeAndre Swift, this is his get back. Really, truly and honestly, this is his get back game because they got rid of you for Saquon. So he may take that personal. You know, a lot of people may take this personal. You know what I'm saying? CJ, Gardner-Johnson, they got rid of him.
Yeah, true.
They got rid of him, so he's going to take it personal. So I look like I look at it like, man, if the Bears come out fired up, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to come out and bust Philly in the goddamn mouth, literally. And you know what I'm saying? Let them know, like, bruh, ain't nothing about us fake. Ain't nothing about us fake. Ain't nothing about us false. Like, we coming to win. And will Philly be able to turn it up? You know what I'm saying? Now, Philly has more talent than us right now as a team. But offensively, they don't have more talent than us. They don't. Offensively, they don't. I mean,
no, offensively, we got a squad.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Offensively, they don't have more talent than us. Along the defensive line, they got more talent. That's about it.
Yeah, they do.
That D-line is talented as hell. The thing is, will Caleb, you know, be smart enough to not take the dumbass sacks and not make the stupid play? If Caleb can manage himself to not make the stupid play and be calculated, we win this game easy. Shockingly easy.
That interior is going to be the key.
Yeah.
They got Carter. Carter versus Thuney and Dahlman and Jonah Jackson. That's going to the Bears are tough in that middle, man.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a key to the game. If they can hold them boys, him and what's the other dude from Georgia? His partner.
They got a gang of Jordan Davis. Dumbass.
Yeah, Jordan Davis.
Jordan
Davis is straight though. I like Jordan Davis.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're tough.
Yeah, they tough,
man. If they
can
hold those two boys,
in the middle.
Check, yeah, if they can hold them boys in check and create some holes, that's going to be the key to the game right there.
Right.
That's going to be the key to the game because you know whoever Donnell Wright guy, he, you know, they got they got a bunch of Georgia dudes.
You know, neutralize.
Yeah, Philadelphia Bulldogs, man.
Yeah, they're the Philadelphia Bulldogs. You know? Yeah.
What is it, Nolan Smith, right?
Yeah, Nolan Smith. And I think Jacoby Dean. They're gonna be out with their right tackle, Lane Johnson. Missing Lane. So I'm pretty sure Sweat gonna be over there trying to get off of whoever they back
up.
Yeah, it's some matchups in that game, man. Strength versus strength. The strength is their defensive line, our strength is all offensive line. Whoever wins that battle, bro, the Bears, back to the Steelers game. That Kyle Manung got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Did you see the offensive line?
Yeah.
They blew Philadelphia's defensive line 2 yards into the end zone.
Yeah. Give me Pittsburgh.
We could have scored that touchdown. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a defensive line.
Yeah, it is.
If you can do that versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
You can do that against anybody.
Woo.
You see that Dan Orlovsky, he put out teams that he trusts going into the playoffs, teams' offensive lines that he trusts going into the playoffs. He had San Fran, he had the Dallas Cowboys, he had the Chicago Bears, he had the Philadelphia Eagles. Who's number two? Who's number two in the NFC right now?
The Rams.
No, the
Bears.
The
Rams offensive line up there.
The Bears are number two in the NFC.
Yeah, the Rams are one.
No,
they tied for two.
Tied for two with LA?
Yeah.
With LA? No, I thought LA was.
No, LA's one.
Yeah, the Bears are two.
They tied for two with the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Eagles lost.
Yeah, the Eagles.
So, who else? Who's the number four seed? It's out. East, right?
I think
that's Philly. East. It's South. NFC South.
He was just saying
NFC offensive lines that he trusts going into the playoffs. And the Bears offensive line was mentioned, and I'm like, wow.
Nah, they good, bro.
Yeah, that, man, we came a long way. We definitely come a long way.
So, see, that's another thing. The GM, you got to give him props for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bears went with one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. He went out and traded with Joe Thuney, Hall of Famer, Jonah Jackson, who was a Pro Bowler, who people said, no, he's not a – he actually was a Pro Bowler. He played like
– Yeah, and, Gallman, and he revitalized himself in Chicago because, again, when he was in L.A.
Well, they tried to play him at center. Yeah. When I went back and watched his tape, and I was trying to tell people this, but, you know, people don't listen, I'm like, bro, they played him at center. He's not a center. He's a guard. Yeah. Most of his tape in L.A. was at center. I mean, come on. How you going to judge that he tried to play center and got hurt? Then you're like, oh, he trashed. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take him.
Thank you.
And I told people, Darnell Wright was a borderline all-pro. Yep. Also, I said, I was watching this dude's tape, and I was like, this dude is a bad motherfucker.
He's top three right tackle in the league right now, in my opinion.
Top two.
Top two, maybe. Yeah.
Him and Sewell.
Yeah.
He kicks people's ass, and I was like, hey. Theo Bennett looked good. Ozzie Trill looked good. He gave up one pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he gave up two, and they didn't even result in anything because he actually kind of pushed them past the quarterback when I was watching the tape. I'm like, bro, the Bears' offensive line is pretty damn good, bro. Like, that's the strength of the team. It's a weapon, you know? So that's going to be a good matchup because that's what Philly gets their money. Philly gets their money on those trenches. But the Bears got good trenches, too, at least on offense. You got to fix it on defense this offseason. But
got to.
You know, we got to address it. But that's a time for another day.
Yeah.
You know, that's a time
for another defense. The defense is going to be better. And when, you know, when they get better, that's going to help the offense. And when the offense is able to click and they're able to complete better passes and do some things, the Bears are going to be a dangerous team. They top, what, three, four in offense right now. They're getting a ton of takeaways. They've been injured. They've been riddled with injury on defense. For them to be in these games, like even the game last week, if it's not for that trick play, or I call it a trick play where they fake the tush push and my man's ran 50 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take that away and you take away Caleb's blunder in the end zone, we only gave up 14 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You take away those two plays and it's, you know, you're looking at a game where the Bears would have won 28-14.
Yeah.
So, you know, the team is defensively, they're playing better. And like I said, they're opportunistic. They're going to be able to do some things. I'm going to say in this game, I'm going to go with, man, it's hard. I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm going to go with the Bears in this one, though.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Chicago in this one. This is a tough one. I know it's in Philadelphia, but I feel like this is a game, an opportunity where the Bears can make a statement victory. You know what I mean? And I believe Ben Johnson knows that. I believe he's going to have the guys ready to play. You know what I mean? He's going to have them locked in and ready to play. Like, hey, Friday, Black Friday football, we the only ones on. They're going to be watching us.
Yep.
It's time.
You know what I'm saying? There's pressure there, but at this point in time, I think the Bears can handle that pressure as a team. They've showed that they can. So I'm going to ride with Chicago in this one.
You want me to go, Nez? Or you?
I got Bears, man. I got Bears, man. I got Bears 27. I got Bears 27. I got Philly 20. 27-20 Bears.
Yeah, I was going to say 27-24.
Yeah, a close one.
Yep. Oh, man. I almost feel like I got to pick Philly now, man. I want to be a clean sweep. Oh, man. I'm going to not be a homer, man. I'm going to say Philly. Philly gets it. I'm going to say Philly gets it. I don't think it's going to be easy. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one of those games where the Bears gain the respect but get the L. I hate moral victories, but it's going to be a moral victory. It's going to be one of them. Oh, man. They just missed it. They missed the field goal or some shit. The field goal gets blocked.
Right.
But it's going to be like, oh, shit, them boys tough. Them boys tough. Because it's in Philly is on the road, so that crowd factor. Philly's a tough place to play. Philly's crazy. I think that's why the Lions got along so well, because you got two crazy-ass fan bases. And so I hope that doesn't happen, I hope that they go out and put the whole NFL on notice. I hope they go out and this is the game that they all put it together. Mm-hmm. The Caleb is good. The running game is good. Wide receiver Rome making the crazy catches. They picking them off. The Austin Booker's balling. You know, the young linebackers, Jalen Johnson shutting down A.J. Brown, and they showing, you know, highlights of him just blanketing A.J. Brown. He can't get open. He's frustrated, slamming his helmet. I hope that this is the game. But so far, the Bears haven't put a full and complete game together. And I think to beat a team like Philly, who's the champs, you got to play 60 minutes of football. Bears have played 45, 50, 30. They need to play a full 60. So I'm going to get a slight edge to Philly. I'm going to say that Philly wins this game 27-24.
Okay. Okay.
They win by a field goal. You know, they come down, kick a field goal. Bears got 10 seconds left. They can't score, some bullshit like that. But then we go smack the shit out the Packers, though.
Yeah. I believe we narrowly escape this one.
We can win.
We can win this game, man.
We can win.
I believe we narrowly escape this one. And then, of course, I do believe that we ride that high and as one of the hottest teams in the league, and we going on in and we beat the shit out of Green. I think we going to sweep Green Bay. I think we going to sweep them.
I hope so. I want that so bad.
I think we going to sweep them.
And I would love it.
There's nothing about them that has me thinking that, you know, and this ain't me just being on a high. This is just me being honest. I thought we should have swept them last year. And we were ass last year.
We should have
swept them last year.
You know, the Bears have a – No, he doesn't. He going to put the ball in harm's way, too. He makes some stupid plays, too, himself. You
know? Yeah. Especially Josh Jacobs out. That's been their saving grace this year. They've been using Josh Jacobs. He's getting up there as a bell cow back. And they don't really, you know, that's kind of been their game. Their wide receivers, they got okay wide receivers. They don't have anybody that's – they don't have an A.J. Brown. They don't have Devontae Smith. Right. You know, they don't got a D.J. Moore, hell. They ain't got, you know,
right.
Romo Dunze. They, you know, they got, you know, I like Romeo Doubs coming out. I ain't gonna trash the guys. They could play Christian Watkins. But they're just God. They like, you know, they're nobody special against our secondary that's healthy now, you know. Right. They don't, yeah. Mike defense, they got Michael Parsons, you know. I mean, I like, you know, Rashad Gary. They got a solid defense, but they're not the 2010 Green Bay Packers. They're not that green. Remember that Green Bay Packers team that had Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, and who else they had? Donald Driver. And
yeah.
DeMike Finley. They ain't that team, you know. They ain't that juggernaut team. So they can be beat, man. But we can't look past them. I think the Bears can beat Philly, though. I really do. Yeah, I don't want people to get it twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want people to get it twisted. They can beat Philly, man. But they got to do it. They got
to
do it.
Ain't nothing to it but to do it, as they say.
They got
to
do it. Beat them. And then people going to stop talking shit. You go in Philly and beat Philly, everybody's going to shut the fuck up.
You got to look at you look at what the Bears have the ability to do this year. Think about this, right? We're talking about Green Bay. We're talking about Philly. If you beat Philly, that's a statement victory, of course, right? You solidify yourself as a top dog. Like we, you know, we here. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no more we on the potential. We here.
Yeah, we here.
If you mess around and you double up and you sweep Green Bay, that potentially puts them out of the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which
and then you got San Francisco, right? You got Cleveland, of course. Then you got San Francisco. You could potentially put them out of the playoff picture with a victory on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Detroit, the last game of the season. And once again, depending on what Detroit does over the next couple of weeks, you might be in a situation where you could slam the door on them too. We got the ability to slam the door on some teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to see it happen. Will you be able to do it against all three? That's a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see that door slammed on a couple of those teams, maybe.
Yeah, especially Green Bay.
Yeah,
I would love it to be Green Bay. Especially Green Bay.
Especially
I would love the last game we played them, stomp them, you out of the playoffs, go home, Jalen Johnson flipping them off. Yeah, baby, I would love that.
Love it.
Love that.
Love it.
I would love that. But, yeah, the Bears can beat anybody, bro. I'm going to be honest with y'all. They can beat anybody.
I think so.
They shown that.
I think so.
Injuries, it don't matter. Down, it don't matter. They can beat you. Special teams, defense, they can beat you. They believe that, man. So, yeah, this should be fun, man.
Yeah,
so,
fun times.
So, everybody, for me, man, I want y'all to enjoy y'all Thanksgiving. don't drink and drive. And if you drink, don't drive. Sit your ass on the couch watching football.
Relax.
We're going to root against the Green Bay Packers. That'd be even better if the Green Bay Packers lose on Thanksgiving.
Try not to get into it with your families. Y'all gonna
Right.
Keep it cool.
Somebody going to get drunk. You're going to see the video. Somebody going to get drunk.
It's going to happen, bro.
They're going to be going off.
When I was on the job, bro, that's when all the drama happened on Thanksgiving, bro. Uncle shows up to the Thanksgiving with his new wife. New younger.
Telling somebody off, she over there mad. Yeah, it's gonna be.
Oh man!
Somebody owe somebody money.
Enjoy the day.
Right, right. You know how that go.
You owe me $5,000.
Like damn.
I'm gonna be just trying to eat my turkey.
You thought I forgot? Got my pistol. Somebody gonna be mad. Somebody gonna be mad because they food don't get ate.
Yeah. You ain't making no plate.
Yeah, somebody exactly gonna be mad. Somebody grandmama gonna be mad when the young girl not fixing the plate for her man.
Yeah,
she gonna say something.
Yep. You ain't gonna fix your man no plate. That's why you can't keep one. That's why your last one left you.
Exactly.
It's about to go down. It's about to go down.
Exactly. What you laughing at? And then the other cousin laughing. What you laughing at? I know your ass ain't talking. Right. Your husband messing with the girl at the gym. Oh man.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody business getting told. Like,
oh man. You got drunk uncles just trying to watch football.
Right.
Who remember that video they had where the whole family was holding hands and doing the prayer around the food for Thanksgiving? And one of them high drunk, motherfuckers just fell face first, boom, in front of everybody. The grandma just looked over and she just kept finishing her prayer. And nobody moved. Nobody said nothing. Y'all remember that?
I ain't seen that.
Oh, my God, bro. I have to send it. But it was everybody was around for Thanksgiving. Everybody holding hands. And one of the young niggas in the family was hiding the motherfucker. And the motherfucker closed his eyes. And the motherfucker just fell face first. Boom! Right on the floor. And the grandma just looked over. And she just continued the prayer and just finished up and just was like, all right.
That ain't the first time that happened.
Like, I ain't even finna be dealing with this. That shit was hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh, man.
I gotta send it to y'all, bro. I'm gonna find it.
That Eddie Murphy skit on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That junk had me cracking up.
But yeah, that's all I got.
That's all I got, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody. Y'all have a good time, man. Be safe out there.
Yes, sir. Bear down.
Yeah, no doubt.
We out.
Peace.
Happy Thanksgiving.